Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, the world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Yeah, baby. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration, because that's what this life is all about. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, abundance, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Once again, welcome to Dave's Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey, and this is LATalkRadio.com. So, what we have dedicated ourselves here every Sunday from 1 to 2 Pacific Standard is raising your vibration, is giving you the opportunity to view life from a different platform, potentially in a way that you've never viewed it before, therefore giving you an expanded understanding of who you are, where you are, and what you can do about it. So, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Vibration Station. This is the show where we do anything, talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. I feel very blessed to be here. As always, I feel very blessed to be able to share my Sundays with you guys. First and foremost, today is focused on raising your vibration. I'm going to talk about a couple ideas today, yes, that we do and have spoken about here on the Vibration Station in previous episodes, but what's very special about today is it's going to be coming from a different, like I said earlier, plateau. The things that are going to be discussed today are going to be discussed in a way that they have never been discussed before, because they've recently been presented to me in a way that I have never understood them. So it brings me great pleasure beyond words to sit here and share with you certain enlightening ideas about this human experience that I've experienced for myself. So thank you for tuning in with us here on the Vibration Station. I'm going to open up the show with a quote. When asked what surprised him most about humanity, the Dalai Lama answered, quote, "Man sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. Then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. the result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die, and then dies having never really lived. The Dalai Lama, ladies and gentlemen. So the reason why I opened the show with that quote is because today what we're going to be talking about is the relationship between your thoughts, your reality, your wealth, your health, your happiness, your expectations, your excitements in life, your lack of excitements in life. So, you know, recently in my life, I've definitely had a couple monumental events that warped what I thought I would ever have to experience in this life, right? You know, we grow up as time goes on, and sure, we have shitty experiences that teach us the power of contrast, that allow us the opportunity to pivot our thoughts in a way which is most beneficial for us and our peers, our loved ones, and the ones in our surroundings. But along with that come some trials and tribulations that can at times skew the, you know, enlightened perception. So in my life, being presented with these wonderful learning opportunities in which I have, they're great lessons. It's also obviously been very difficult. So you get down on yourself, you get down on life, you get depressed, you get sad, and then you just think, well, what am I supposed to do from here, right? When you don't know what to do, when you're feeling as if there is no fork in your crossroads, there's literally no roads, you're stuck, it's what do you do? Well, you introvert, okay? You go inside. Because that's the only place to go, and that's where it all starts. That's where the source lives, right? So when I say go inside, what I mean is allow yourself to feel peace. Allow yourself to feel serenity, regardless of the conditions that are in your life right now. If you don't have enough money and you're stressing to pay the bills, stop feeling what it feels like not to pay the bills. Feel what it feels like to have money. Right? The reason why the rich get richer is not because necessarily they have money to invest. Of course, that too. But the rich get richer because of the emotional response that they have every time they think of money. So every time they think of money, they get butterflies in their stomach. They feel good about it. And if they don't get butterflies in their stomach, then they know that they can pay for whatever it is that's being talked about. If you don't have money, you think, oh, I don't have the money. It's all a vibrational response. It's all an electromagnetic manifestation of what you think you deserve. So I was introduced to these really great ideals just recently by a speaker named Stuart Wilde. If you guys want to totally expand your understanding of what you currently know, check out Stuart Wilde, S-T-U-A-R-T, last name W-I-L-D-E. You can just look him up on YouTube. You can look up his quotes, whatever. Just listen to some of his videos. They're just awesome. Just totally warps your perception of what you thought was possible, not possible. And then he backs it with scientific proof, right? He uses physics to back what he's talking about. He doesn't just say, you know, well, there's multiple dimensions on the earth plane. Right, he says there's multiple dimensions on the earth plane, and the way that this works is, so he goes into detail, he goes into explaining the science behind how it's possible for there to be a multifaceted plane on planet Earth. So regardless of all that, what this really is coming down to, and the reason why I opened the show with that beautiful quote by the Dalai Lama, man sacrifices his health in order to make money, then sacrifices money to recuperate his health, and then he is so anxious about the future, he does not enjoy the present. The result being, he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die, and then dies having never really lived. That was the quote I opened the show up with. The reason why I say that is because I've noticed so much of this in our society. We're definitely coming to a crossroads in our society. Speak about crossroads. We're definitely coming to a focal period where there's going to be some serious changes in the winds. For the positive, I believe. Has to be for the positive. Everything's always expanding into a greater more, and expansion is love, is greatness. You can't expand by pinching yourself off, right? You can't expand from a dark place. You can only expand from a place of light. And that's in physics as well. So, what the Dalai Lama is saying, essentially, is we sacrifice our well-being to make the money, and then we spend all the money to recuperate our well-being. And then we're so worried about everything that's happening around us that we don't ever actually get to live in the moment, in the present, where everything is. All we have is the now. There's no such thing as the past or the future. There is only the present. And what I mean by that is even 10 trillion light years away, regardless of how far back you went in time or how forward you went in time, whatever. You know, you look at pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope and you see all these galaxies and you think to yourself, wow, I'm really looking far back in time, or I'm really looking far forward in time. They say it's far back, but we never really know. So what I'm saying here is, even when you look at those distant galaxies that, sure, by our Gregorian calendars may be 10 million light years behind us or in advancement of us, but no matter what it says on the wristwatch, it's still happening now, right? It's still happening now. 10 million light years away, no matter what is happening, it's happening now. It's happening now. So the whole point to that is, no matter if you're if you're a man on this planet, a woman on this planet, seeking love, light, enjoyment, serenity, or if you're a whole galaxy, if you're a whole collective energy, collective consciousness that represents a galaxy just swirling through the universe, it's all happening now. And what are you doing with that now is all that matters. How you feel in the now is all that matters. The emotional response that you're allowing yourself to saturate in is all that matters. I'm going to be talking about a really powerful concept today that also was presented to me by Mr. Stuart Wilde. So, this idea of money being a tangible thing. Money is nothing more than a manifestation of an emotional expectation. I'm going to say that one more time. Money is nothing more than a manifestation of an emotional expectation. Think about this. Who prints money? People. People print money. Where's the idea of printing money? That comes from, whether it be a higher power that's downloaded to a human consciousness, or just a human consciousness that decides, you know, that's lining up with his higher power, her power, whatever, no matter what. No matter who or how or what makes money, it's human, right? It's a human thing. Whether the human's connected to a source or not, that's not the point. The point is, we all have the opportunity to be connected to a source. And the point is, it's the human consciousness that creates money. Think about this. Owners of oil companies, of oil distributors, of oil, you know, people that manufacture like oil wells and get the oil out of the ground. Think about this. They are the ones that decide what the price is. All it is a manifestation of a human expectation. So the owners of the oil companies say, okay, well, we choose this price per barrel. And then it's that price per barrel because they expect it, because they know that nobody else has any control over the price but them. Now, if you felt the exact same way about certain things in your life, if you gave without beyond a shadow of a doubt 100% of your belief and expectation into something, it would have to manifest. It would have to. Via laws of the universe, what you expect has to manifest. You will find the vibrational equivalent of whatever it is that you are putting out. We are magnetic beings. This is proven through physics. This is proven through quantum physics. We are magnets. Everything. The earth, let's get down to a very basic science. The earth has an atmosphere. The reason why we have an atmosphere is due to electromagnetics. We have poles. We have a north pole and a south pole. Those poles emit electromagnetic energy, which create an atmosphere. Which create stratosphere. So we have these electromagnetic laws. They're governing us at all times, and we totally forget about it. We cease to recognize the fact that everything works off of magnetics and vibration. So nothing is ever really solid. Nothing is ever really set in stone, because it's all just vibrating potential. So let's get back. If the planet is governed by electromagnetics, then don't you think the beings and the structures and everything that inhabits that planet is going to be governed by the same laws? I would have to agree. So if we're governed by the same laws that the planets are, then essentially we have a magnetism to us. We have an electromagnetic pull. We have a gravitational pull, just like planets, just like the sun that has a gravitational pull that's keeping all of the planets in its orbit. We have the same gravitational pull, but that pull is governed by our thoughts, by what we think, by how we feel. More importantly, by what we think, it's governed by how we feel, because the feeling is the emotional conductor to the manifestations that we're experiencing. So we could be experiencing some really limiting and contrasting experiences. We could be experiencing some things that are really painful, that hurt us. But if we don't saturate ourselves in the pain and the hurt for too long, and we go straight into this is a lesson and this is an opportunity for me to expand and become a greater, more enlightened, more loving, more understanding, more compassionate, more abundant, more grateful individual, then all of a sudden you're going to shift, no matter of the current circumstances, from the shitty feelings to good feelings. It's all our neural nets and our neural pathways. Those are governed by electromagnetics as well. You know, when you think a thought, it's just a neuron connecting to a synapse, and the thing that makes those neurons and those synapses break away and come together, bind together, is electromagnetic energy, right? So you can learn that in, you know, anatomy of the brain or anything like that. So the point that I'm getting at here is the thoughts that a person thinks is just an electromagnetic energy, and then those thoughts, which are governed by feelings, those feelings give an emotional, or the feelings are an emotional response, which then trigger for an expectation. And then that expectation is what allows for the certain manifestations to come in to your life experience. So let's get back to this idea of the owner of the oil company. So here's a group of guys that own an oil company, or one man or woman, whatever. And they decide, well, today, you know, the price of oil, due to the economical settings, the price of oil is going to be, you know, $44 a barrel. You know, tomorrow they could wake up and say, well, the price of oil is going to be $55 a barrel, right? And if they expected it and they put it into motion, it would happen, and then everybody else would have to pay whatever that went up, just because of an emotional response to an expectation of what one should receive for a commodity, for whatever. But let's get down to the basics of it. You're not trading commodities. You're trading energy. You're not trading oil. Oil is just energy. Gas is energy, right? You're trading thoughts. You're trading ideas. You're trading collective consciousness. You're trading individual ideas throughout a collective consciousness. That's all you're doing, right? That's why there's been so many studies that show when these powerful minds come together and then pray for peace, just like they did in Washington, D.C., I think it was the year 2008, something like that. The police department of Washington, the head police department of Washington, D.C., was approached by these, I want to say monks, if you will, people with a very powerful influence of mind. And they said that over a week worth of praying that they could drop the crime rate, some odd 30%, right? The chief of police says, no fucking way. Excuse my friend. He goes, no way. It's not going to happen. He goes, there's criminals. There's bad people in this town. Bad people in this city. But these people that operated from a higher vibration understood that everything is governed by magnetics and everything is governed by influence. So if you influence love, if you influence peace and you influence serenity, you influence compassion, you pray for compassion, you ask for compassion, the reality that you are a part of must be affected by the thoughts that you think, especially if you expect it to happen. When you expect it to happen, it happens. And the only reason why you don't receive something that you want is because you don't expect it. And the reason why you do receive something that you want or that you don't want is because you expect it. So if we can grasp the power of influence, if we can grasp the power of manipulating your thoughts to benefit you and everybody else around you, this world will shift, and it already has. There will be different powers that have influence in this planet, on this planet. So just remember, we're trading ideas, we're trading energy, we're not ever trading actual commodities. Commodities are just a manifestation of the energy. When it comes down to it, if you were to ask a scientist to put that same commodity, whether it be a molecule of oil, a molecule of gold, a molecule of silver, a molecule of a structure of a building, a molecule of the human cell, take the molecule of my keyboard, whatever. You're going to put it under a microscope. At the face value, it's going to look like what it is. You know, you put gold under a microscope, it shines, it looks like gold. You put a keyboard under a microscope, it's flat, looks like keys. You put a human cell under the microscope, it looks like a human cell. But when you get deeper and 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 deeper, get to the nucleus of that atom, and then past the nucleus, is just a bunch of vibrating potential. It is nothing. There is actually nothing. Nothing. In the center of the nucleus of these atoms. In everything. It's nothing. It's hollow, vibrating potential. So what does that tell us? That at the very core of everything that we see in our reality, it's all hollow potential held together by electromagnets. Electromagnetism. What do you think an electromagnetism is? It's magnets, just like your north and your south. You got magnets. It's governed by electromagnetism on an atomic level. Everything in your universe is governed by electromagnetics on an atomic level. And quantum physics has proven this. Quantum physics has shown us this time and time and time and time and time again. The only reason that the human population doesn't accept it as a whole is because it's beyond what we're used to perceiving. So with that in mind, I'm going to jump into the next idea of today's show. The power of the matrix. The power of the matrix. So just like in the movie, The Matrix, with Keanu Reeves as Neo and Lawrence Fishburne played Morpheus. Keanu Reeves played Neo. Movie The Matrix. For those of you that haven't seen The Matrix, check it out. It's so cool. Now, it has so much to do with what we're talking about here, right? So, you know, we do live in somewhat of a matrix. And just as a basis for this conversation, when I say the matrix, what I'm saying is that we are born into a reality that is not fully visible to us. As we grow older, as we are told that we need to get a job to make money, and money does not grow on trees, and you need to do certain things to meet certain people's standards, and if you don't do these things, then you're going to be an outcast, or you're not going to be accepted by the collective. So then we kind of lose sight of the bigger picture, and then we're just another sheep in the herd. But that's changing. That's all about to change, and we're shifting that, because with this idea of the Matrix, right, Morpheus offers Neo the red pill or the blue pill. Now, he doesn't judge Neo, which I think is really cool, in the same way that there is no judgment when being offered these ideas of living in a quantum universe. Right? There's no judgment. It's if it intrigues you, if you want to expand your knowledge of what is possible and warp the plane that you live on, take the red pill. Essentially, open up your mind. Start thinking the way that you would imagine a god would think. Start thinking the way that you would imagine the creator of the universe would think. And then you would find that these ideas start popping in your head. Just ask. Just say, I want to think like a creator. Just ask. Say, I ask to think like a creator. And then you're going to start getting these ideas, little ideas here and there. So the power of the Matrix is really what it comes down to, is understanding that there is multiple dimensions on this earth plane. There's multiple layers of perception on this earth plane. People like Paramahansa Yogananda, a great, great Indian yogi. Not when I say like Indian from India, not in a derogatory way, of course. Not a Native American, but actually he's from India. Paramahansa Yogananda was a phenomenal yogi who mastered these laws of living in and out of these multifaceted dimensions that exist on the earth plane. So he talks about entering a state of vibration in his autobiography. If you ever get the opportunity, I highly suggest you read The Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal read. It truly teaches you the power of man's thoughts, and it teaches you, through a man's example, the power of man's thoughts. So this man talks about literally moving mountains with his mind. He talks about bringing a dear friend of his back to life, putting life back in his body after being pronounced dead for 3 days. He talks about levitating. He talks about these different dimensions that exist within the earth plane that are always available to the human consciousness. It's just humans are pinched off to these dimensions because it's not on the forefront of the thinking. They're not thinking about it. They're not exposed to it, right? So if we start little by little exposing ourselves to new ways of thinking and understanding that everything is vibrational. If I want something, I think about it and I expect it. If I believe that I deserve something, then I need to believe that it's on its way to me. Nothing else. If I believe like I'm experiencing something that I don't want to be experiencing anymore, then I need to take it upon myself to be responsible for my thoughts and say, fuck this. I'm changing. I'm changing the way that I feel, because the way that I feel is more important to me than anything else. So once we've mastered these ideas of, you know, the universe responding to your vibrational calling, once we've mastered these principles that through the power of our thoughts, through the power of our expectation, through the power of pivoting our minds in a positive way, we really can experience anything and everything that we could ever think to be possible. Just really, really just super powerful, just super duper powerful stuff. I mean, just to the point where I get excited for the day when, as a collective, people can start little by little understanding that there is more and there always has been more than just what meets the eye. I mean, it's really powerful to the planet Earth, and it's really powerful to each and every person and each and every living being on the planet that, you know, that the positive energy is slightly greater than the negative energy, right? So there's all these like perceptions, all these different ideas of you know, who's responsible or what forces are responsible for certain things that are happening on the planet and this and that. I'm not going to get too deep into that, but if that interests you, make sure to check out The Journey Beyond Enlightenment by Stuart Wilde. It's a 4-part series. It's really cool. I believe it's a 5-part series, 5 or 6-part series. But it's exactly what we're talking about here, much deeper, goes into great depth and the different dimensions on the Earth plane, what they embody, what they look like. So there really is an opportunity to become something that you could not even imagine becoming within your wildest dreams. There is an opportunity right now available to you to start thinking in a way that serves you more, to start thinking in a way that is beneficial to the well-being of your expansion as a spiritual being in a physical body that is substantially beneficial to the collective consciousness on planet Earth. So, something that I've learned from a speaker by the name of Abraham Hicks, she goes, one individual, one person that is in alignment with the source or with the creator aspect of them is more powerful than millions who are not. So one person that is in alignment with source, and source is the, as we were speaking earlier, the creator of creation, the universal you, the higher self universal aspect of you, the true you, the you that was you before you came into this physical body, you. So, you know, Abraham talks about one who is in alignment with this source is more powerful than millions who are not. So if you have millions of people that are in alignment with the source, praying for the same thing, feeling the same thing, understanding the same principles, and asking for love, asking for light, then this planet is absolutely unstoppable. The ozone layer will clear up. There won't be global warming. I'm telling you, everything is energy. Everything is vibration. And I'm not the first one to say this. I chances are I wouldn't have the kahunas. I wouldn't have the balls to come out and say this if I was the first one that said this, because it would be fear of being the lunatic, right? Of course, in this crazy society. But sometimes we just got to be the lunatic. And I know that I might still sound like a lunatic. But you know what? The fact that there is other very knowledgeable and educated people that have said this before me makes me feel better. So when you come to me and you say, David, you're whacked. Where are you getting this information? I'll say, well, you can listen to this gentleman. Look at his credentials. Not that that even matters, because if someone has knowledge and it resonates with you, then you shouldn't have to look at their credentials to make it make sense. If it feels good, then it feels good, and that's the only guidance system that you need. But if it gives you a little extra coding to look at their credentials and be like, oh, he graduated from this college and did this and was making this much money at this age and da-da-da, it makes you feel like, oh, well, they have an understanding for the earth plane. They have an understanding for what it takes to live a happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise life. And then you're going to listen to them a little bit more, give them a little bit more of your trust without knowing where they came from. But I'm telling you, people that are masters of this planet, I mean, people that have total and ultimate control over their realities, talk about using these principles to benefit themselves and their surroundings. and their universe, because they are their universe. As Rumi says, and I always quote this, we are not one drop in the entire ocean, but the entire ocean in one drop. So we have available to us at all times the potential to be everything in our wildest dreams that we can imagine being. There is nothing that is not available to us. There is nothing that we cannot be, do, or have. There's absolutely nothing. Something else I want to touch on is the idea of miracles, right? That's totally in alignment with what we're talking about here. The idea of a miracle is only you aligning with an expectation that is further away from the current expectation. So all a miracle is believing that this can happen regardless of what your current expectation is. So, perfect example, miracle. Someone gets their cancer healed in 3 minutes. A woman from Vietnam. If you're interested in this video, you could check out Greg Braden. Just Google search or go on YouTube and search Greg Braden. Cancer tumor healed in 3 minutes. Just Google search that. Or you just Google search Greg Braden cancer tumor or tumor healed. Any of those keywords. It'll bring the video right up. It's a pretty well-known video for those of you that are interested in this kind of stuff. This woman, Vietnamese woman, she had had a tumor in her bladder that was the size close to, it was like the size of like a baseball and a half. It was really big. And she had had this tumor for, I believe, 3 years? Two, three years. Well, Western doctors gave her like 4 months to live. They were like, wow, you lived way past like what we thought you were going to live. But judging by your current, cellular situation, where the tumor is and how it's spreading and da-da-da, we're going to give you about 4 months to live. So start enjoying life, whatever. Well, she goes, I don't accept that. So she seeks different forms, and she originally was led to Western medicine because the Eastern medicine that she was using in Vietnam or whatever didn't work. Went to Western medicine, they diagnosed her, said, you're going to kick the bucket, don't even try. She didn't take that as an option. She just said no. She goes, no, that's I have way more life to live. I have way many more things that I want to do, and I have too many people to live for. So then she was approached by these, Eastern scientists, but different Eastern scientists, and not from Vietnam, from a different area. I believe it was, these people were from China or Japan. I think it was Japan. And they're energy medicine healers. So they use energy as their medicine. Long story short, they take this woman in for, I believe it was 4 months. They take her in to where she lives with them. They teach her how to think. They teach her how to eat. They teach her how to breathe. They teach her that every breath is breathing in energy and then releasing energy. And every single breath that she takes has a direct connection to the cells of her body. So they teach her how to breathe. And then they teach her that her thoughts have a direct connection between the energy that she is experiencing and the cells that are being manipulated by the energy in her body. They explain to her that everything that she puts in her body, the food that she eats, is a direct reflection of the thoughts that she's thinking, and or the food that she eats directly affects her body, her cells, which in therefore directs her thoughts. So it's all a self. They're all self-fulfilling prophecies here. So they completely teach her a whole new way of living. 4 months later, when they decide, okay, it's time for her to heal, 3 minutes, they take her into this Eastern Hospital. These three energy doctors stand over her, and then they take a, you know, like a sonograph. Oh, man, I'm blanking on the name. That's bad. I need to, the machine. I believe it's a sonograph. No, the machine that is used to see a baby in a mother's stomach. Sonogram. I think it's sonogram. But basically, yeah, sonogram. That's exactly what it is. So they use a sonogram to view this tumor in this woman. And you see how large it is. You see exactly where it is. And then simultaneously, so then on the left side of the screen, they capture just a still screenshotted image of what this tumor is looking like, you know, over her bladder. And then on the right side, they keep the sonogram on her stomach while the energy healers do their healing. And then on the right side, you see a live feed of the sonogram of what's happening to the tumor. So the three, doctors that are healing her all agree upon one word to be the word that heals her. So this word is the word that once they say this word, she's going to be healed. And then she also knows that this is the word that means I am healed. This word doesn't mean I'm getting rid of my cancer. This word doesn't mean, you know, I'm feeling better. What it means is I am healed perfectly. I have no cellular misalignment in my body. Better yet, my cells are perfectly aligned, right? So they start chanting, like, ah, da, 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 whatever the word is. They start chanting. And you see at a live feed in 3 minutes, this tumor is gone. I mean, gone. Just fucking gone. Because the energy of her body was responding to the energy of the medicine men that were telling the cells of her body. And then because she knew what this word meant to tell the cells of her body that it is perfectly healed, that her body completely rejected the cancer. So that's the power of thoughts. That's the power of energy, right? It's the power of believing in something greater than just the physical trappings of, you know, having to, you know, do the chemotherapy or do the this and do the that, you know. Yeah, and I'm not against these things, right? Of course, these treatments help and heal many people. But what I am saying is there are other ways, less invasive ways of going about it if you can just allow yourself to feel them. Just allow yourself to feel them. Just allow yourself to feel them. Allow yourself to feel what it feels like to be completely healthy. Allow yourself to feel what it feels like to have $10 million at your disposal at all times. Why not? Just feel that way. Who cares if you actually have it or not? Who cares? That's not the point. If you feel like you have it, you're going to feel great. But then what you're going to do is you're going to hear people say, you're crazy. Why would you, right? You may not want to talk about it. It's more of something you just might want to feel inside, saturate what the feeling of it is like, and then you'll start attracting different things. But my point is, even if you have $1 to your name and you can convince yourself, you can feel within your heart that you have $10 million at your disposal, fuck, you're doing great. You are off to a great start, and you're going to start attracting money because the universe has to respond to the vibration that you're putting out. I love this quote by Abraham. She goes, "The universe does not know the difference between someone that has $1 million and someone that feels like they have $1 million. The universe does not know the difference between someone that has $1 million and someone that feels like they have $1 million. Do you know why? Because there's an infinite amount of everything. Everything is electromagnetic energy. Everything is vibrating potential. And if there is an asking for more of something, there will be the manifestation of it. If, you know, people talk about, oh, there's not a lot of gold left in the world. You know, we're mining all the gold. People, you know, I don't know if you follow commodities or if anybody is interested in gold. I love gold. I love the idea of gold. I think there's something innately placed in the human consciousness that follows gold. But regardless, that's off topic. People talk about how there's not a lot of gold left on the planet. You know, how there's a fixed amount of gold on the Earth because, you know, what creates gold is a supernova, the explosion of a star. And then in the formation of our planet 4.3 billion years ago, you know, that fixed amount of gold was then embedded in the Earth. And it's up to the humans to mine it, right? If they want their gold. Well, I have a little bit of a different philosophy on that. Yes, there's definitely, you know, when the Earth was created, there was a fixed amount of gold that was created within the Earth, or should I say, reachable gold. But I also think that there is this big factor that comes into play, which is collective asking. If there is a collective asking for something, there has to be the collective manifestation of it, if there's an expectation for it. Now, if there's a collective asking for it and nobody expects it, it's not going to come because the energy isn't powerful in the expectation of receiving. But if there's asking and there's expectation for it, it will have to show up. It will have to come. Build it and they will come. Feel it and they will come. So, you know, my philosophy with the gold thing is, you know, if hypothetically speaking, we come to this point where we've mined all the gold on the face of the earth that we can reach, and society demands more gold, they will find, there will be a vein, a huge vein of gold. There will be a huge, whether it's millions of little veins here and there, or just like a couple big ones that just replenish the gold on Earth, right? Obviously, that would affect value and everything. That also comes into play. Would we want that to happen? Because then all of a sudden, there's not a fixed amount of gold. We found more than we thought there was, or whatever. That doesn't matter at the point. The point is, if there's a collective asking for it, there will be a collective receiving. As long as the expectation is present. As long as the expectation of receiving is greater than the expectation of lack. That's it. That's all it comes down to. So we've covered a lot of ground in today's show, right? Guys, really what I just want you to walk away with is life can be really shitty. Life can be so difficult and hard and painful and strenuous and stressful. And eat you from the inside out. And at times, it's supposed to, because it's those times that really define you as a person. You know, if you don't believe me, maybe ask yourself, maybe go back in the future, or go back in the future. Nah, yeah, now you're really on the vibration station. Go back in your mind. Go back to some memories and think to yourself, if it wasn't for this gnarly experience that changed who I am, would I be as great as I am today? Would I be as happy? Would I be as wise, I guess, would be a great question. Would I be as enlightened as I am today? And I guarantee you 99% of the answer to your question is going to be, no, I would not be had I not had this experience that really pained me. I would not be as understanding of a person as I am had I not had this traumatic experience. I would not be as powerful of a person as I am today had I not had this traumatic experience. I would not be as abundantly blessed with experience, with knowing how to deal with my emotion, had I not been presented with this really painful experience. So, folks, the human experience is definitely one of lessons to be learned and pain, but it's also one of ultimate and extreme opportunity. And we're so blessed and we're so unconditionally loved that we can actually feel bondage. And we are so unconditionally loved that we can actually feel complete and total serenity and wholeness and alignment with Creator, with creation. So it's up to you where your thoughts lie. If they lie in the light, or if they lie in the darkness, and the darkness is just you pinching yourself off from the light. So just know that you are unconditionally loved and appreciated at the very core of your being, from the universe at large. Once again, this is Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com. I'm your host, Davey. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at Good Vibe Station. Once again, that's at Good Vibe Station here on Twitter. Well, we're not here on Twitter. We're here on LA Talk Radio. Guys, I'm your host, and I love you. That's why I'm your host, because I fucking love you guys. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, abundance, and laughter from my heart to yours. This is Dave's Good Vibration Station every Sunday at 1 here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. You guys are awesome, and I'll see you next Sunday. Thank you for being in alignment with the wholeness of who you are. Man, am I looking forward to what's in store. Love you guys. Bye-bye.